from a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street.
Studio in downtown Belmont, Pennsylvania. The State of Independence worldwide. This National Intel Report on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse, on Mojo 50 Radio and Patriot Nation Radio Network. I am Peter Serafine, your host for the next 2 hours of common sense and constitutional discussion. In just a second, we've got a guest joining us. Mr. Joe Lombardi from Iron Hawk Financial is going to sit with us for the first hour. And to start out the second hour, got a big announcement to make. So you're going to want to stick around and hear that in the second hours. But, you know, as I said, I have a guest. So let's bring him in. Mr. Joe Lombardi, Iron Hawk Financial. Welcome to National Intel Report and Liberty Lighthouse.
Thanks for having me.
So I got to tell you, when you're, I don't know who it was, somebody contacted me and said, hey, do you want to have Joe on your show? And it said that you were an insurance guy. I ignored that email. And then they sent another one. And in the second email, there was a link to an interview that you did. I'm like, all right, I'll watch it. You know? So I watched the interview, listened really. I don't watch, I just listen. And I thought, hey, this guy talks about lots of stuff that's not insurance, and it could be fun. So props to you for not being the typical insurance guy.
I appreciate it.
But before we move on, why don't you give the listeners a little bit about you and Iron Hawk Financial. What makes you different? And, you know, you've got a mile of accolades and awards and stuff, and I didn't bother to write them down because I'm a lazy host. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about you?
Yeah, so I'm Joseph Lombardi. I'm the owner and founder of Iron Hawk Financial. I've been in business for 20 years. I've won 27 industry awards. I also was featured as on the cover of the top 40 advisors in the country under 40 years old. I'm a published author. I have 3 books on Amazon Kindle, if you'd like to listen. They're $4.99. If you want them for free, I will definitely send them to you. One is called Being Your Own Bank. The other one is There's a Better Way Than the 401k. And my third book is Long-Term Care Without Long-Term Pains. I also was featured in International Business Times, Business Insider, and Market Insider. I have over 1,600 clients across the country, including the great state of Pennsylvania. And I have over $1 billion of protection and rollovers that I've done in my career. I'm 5-star rated on Google. I'm A+ rated on the Better Business Bureau. And my number one goal is to make you money.
Nothing wrong with that. I was about to cut you off. It was starting to sound a little bit like bragging. All right. Now, I did warn you that this is a live call-in show. So as a live call-in show, you never know who's going to call in and what they might have to say. So get your dial-in fingers ready out there. It's 512-248-8252 to call in and get on air and ask Mr. Joe Lombardi a question or two. And if you prefer not to be on air, but you still have comments you want to make, you can do that by texting 64MYRIGHTS. That's 646-974-4487. All right, Joe. So I'm 50. Be 51 in just a couple of weeks. As far as I can tell, I still got 12, 13 years before I can retire. But I've been working since I was 14 years old. I'm done. I'm tired. I don't want to do it anymore. But I have to. Okay. I'm in a pretty good situation here. I got enough money to cover all my expenses. My only debt is my mortgage. I have a mortgage and a second mortgage. I pay on them every penny I have. Like every, you know, I you know, I'm going to get paid tomorrow. So tonight I'll look in my checking account, and whatever I've got left in my checking account gets thrown at the mortgage. I plan that I will be debt free in 4 years. I'm a disabled vet, so I got, you know, $500 a month or ish coming in from the VA. I'll get my Social Security. I'll get my retirement from the United States Postal Service. But I still think I need to do more. Like, I see all of these people out there that are living on fixed incomes after retirement that just can't make it without, you know, I've got a big, beautiful house, and I don't want to lose it until I'm ready to lose it. You know, eventually I'm going to want to sell it because it's three stories and I'm old. But what are some, I know you can't give financial advice, you know, on the air to everybody, but what are some general things to look at and consider in this world?
So you just explained a very typical client. So I have a team across the country, almost 100 people that I work with, whether they're lawyers, accountants, CPAs, attorneys, real estate agents, mortgage brokers, budget guys. So I think what a strategy for you, if you want to accelerate the payment of your mortgage quicker, is you can do a home equity line of credit, open up a HELOC, has to be revolving, mm-hmm. and you can chunk out a piece of the home equity line to pay off your primary. Now, most people would say, well, why would I do that when I'm being charged 4% interest? Why would I take out a home equity line at 9? That doesn't make any sense. I was that person. It took me 2 years to actually grasp this concept. My fourth book is on this concept. So what you do is take the home equity line, you move all your paychecks from the bank to the home equity line. So let's say you have a $300,000 house and you owe $50,000, just making up stuff. What you could do is you could do a home equity line for, let's say, $30,000. Okay. And you take 10 of it and chunk down your mortgage. And then you take your paychecks, you put them into your home equity line. What most Americans do is they leave their money in their checking and savings accounts. Do you know who makes all the money when you leave your money in a checking and savings accounts? That would be the bank. And you know how the bank makes money? They do it through fractional lending. So you deposit a dollar, they take that dollar, and they lend that $1 to 20 different people. And they just keep making profit as people pay their interest on your money that you earn nothing on. So the old saying is, a dollar saved is a dollar earned. So if I can pay off your mortgage, say a couple years sooner, by doing a home equity line, putting all your money into the home equity line, leaving nothing in the bank, moving all your bills to one day of the month. Well, why would I do that, Joe? By moving all your bills one day of the month, you only have to transfer your money from your HELOC to your bank one day a month, 2 days a month. What does that matter? Well, if all that money is going into your into your HELOC, that's lowering the interest that you're paying. And then if you're moving money from your HELOC to the bank on a revolving home equity line of credit, you're only paying interest on the money that you actually take out of it. Mm-hmm. So if the money is being put in once a week and taken out once a month, you're not paying 9%. You're paying 2/30ths of 9%.
Right.
So you're paying less than a point. So now you're able to pay off your house faster. You're not making the banks all this revenue and money that they're not including you on that profit. And you're able to get out of debt a lot faster.
Right. Well, I got to say, I'm a pretty unique character. I got really lucky not long ago. So I had my mortgage, big, beautiful house, paid $52,000 for it. Oof. Because it had been vacant for 10 years and the pipes had burst. And there was no seller's disclosure about how old the roof was or anything like that. So nobody was willing to pay money. So I got it for $52,000. My mortgage is right about 3%. And it's Well, I think I'm down to $14,000 that I owe at 3%. But when I bought the house, well, you know, it needed a roof and it needed new pipes and it needed all this other stuff. So I took out a HELOC, got myself that home equity line of credit. And, well, a couple of years ago, year and a half ago-ish, I don't know, whenever the interest rates started going through the roof, I went back to my bank and I'm like, hey, look, I got all this money on this variable rate HELOC and I'm really scared. What can I do? And they said, oh, well, we'll just renew it as a new HELOC. I'm like, okay, what's that do for me? So, well, that means you get that extra super low introductory interest rate for a year. And then at the end of the year, you can choose to lock it in at today's rate. Okay, sounds good to me. So that's what I did. Then, a couple weeks, a couple months, I don't know, I have no sense of time, I'm old. Shortly thereafter, I'm sitting on my front porch with a big fat cigar, and I see one of my neighbors walk into his car carrying like a big framed picture. I'm like, hey, Mike, what are you doing? Oh, just getting some more stuff out of the house. What do you mean? Well, the wife and I had to move into a one-story apartment. We can't do the stairs anymore. Gonna have to sell the house. Really? And he goes, yeah. You know, I paid 50-something for it back in 1996, but I haven't been able to do any maintenance or upkeep or anything on it. I've been working two jobs this whole time. And I don't know what I'm going to get for it. I'm thinking to myself, you paid 50 grand. I might be able to buy a house for 50 grand. Another house for 50 grand. So I go inside and I talk to the wife and I'm like, hey, what do you think about, why don't we buy this and rent it out? She's like, okay. So I call Mike up and I'm like, hey, Mike, can I see the house? He's like, sure, the door's open, just go in. It's two doors down. So I walk over, I look in, and in my head, I'm thinking, 10 grand to make this a nice place again. So I call him up, and I said, all right, Mike, where are you in the whole selling it process? He said, I haven't talked to anybody, don't have an appraisal, haven't got a real estate agent, anything like that. Wife and I were just thinking 45. And I said, well, I just walked through and I'm thinking it's going to cost me 10 to make it livable again for a new tenant or something like that. Would you take 40? And he goes, hold on a minute. Hey, hon! I buy the house for 40 grand.
Holy.
So I write a check out of my HELOC for $40,000. Now, my intention at this time is to turn it into a rental property. But in my head, I'm thinking, now I've got all this debt. You know, I already had like 40 grand on my HELOC, and now I just put in another 40 grand on the HELOC, and I hate debt. So I start taking pictures. I take all of his old crap out, haul it to the dump, and rip out the nasty carpet, and, you know, I start the cleanup process, and I start taking pictures and putting them online. And I said, hey, come give me $80,000, you can have this house. Or waiting until I do the work, and it's going to be more. Immediately, my phone starts ringing. So I sell the house after owning it for literally 3 weeks for 80 grand. But wait, there's more. I don't like capital gains tax. So I sold it, owner financed. 15 years, 5% interest, penalty if you pay it off within 2 years, which is when the capital gains is nasty. So I now have $601 a month coming to me from this other person, which pays my HELOC payment. Gone. And then I put what I was already paying on the HELOC in. So the introductory year goes up, I lock it in 4.5% for 5 years, and I'm paying more than a monthly payment every month. So I'm thinking 3.5, 4 years. it'll be gone. And then I've got, you know, 12 years or so of $601 a month coming in from this other person. I've got my 401, well, I'm sorry, post office doesn't call it a 401k plan. It's a thrift savings account. It's a freaking 401k. But I also get, you know, a little bit of a pension from the post office and Social Security and disability. And all this. Like, if I were to retire based on, you know, chart everything out as to what it'll probably be in 12 years, I'd be bringing home pretty much what I'm bringing home now. That seems pretty legit, right?
It's not shabby.
Right. I'm still worried.
Well, you have to be. You have inflation to worry about. Yeah. You have increased taxation to worry about. You have a market correction to worry about. You have interest rates increasing to worry about. That's what most of my clients' biggest fears are. And what my strategy is addresses all those.
Okay. My biggest fear is the tax liability of it all.
Oh, yeah.
So I've started putting money into a Roth.
It's okay. I think a rich person's Roth better. You have a computer in front of you, just go to Rich Person's Roth Forbes. And there's a lot of really good information right from Forbes about it. An article written in 2018, article written in 2020.
Pardon me while I write that down.
Yeah, Rich Person's Roth is a way better strategy than a Roth IRA. There's no 59.5-year rule, 10% penalty, FILO, first in, last out, which means if I put in money, I need it before I'm 59.5. They tax me and penalize me on a so-called tax-free account. You have very expensive 12B1 fee, Class A share fund fee, money management fee, annual account fee. So what the Rich Person Roth can do for you is it builds a foundation. You know, it has long-term care, has life, disability, chronic illness, terminal illness, tax-free. The strategy I'm referencing has been averaging over 15% a year for the last 20 years, tax-free. Smokes any type of investment you can find, unless you want to go to the casino or bet on a football game. it really is. It's what I have all my clients doing. And then if you take your thrift savings account, I could throw it in an account that you cannot lose. That's been averaging 13% over the last 10 years, which is the worst 10-year period in this strategy, where the best averaged 22%. And that's both strategies use contracts, calls, puts, stops, warrants, futures, which I know I'm speaking Chinese to 99% of people when I talk like this. But
yeah.
It used to be a $5 million threshold to get in, you know, these major AAA rated 175-year-old insurance companies, which survived Civil War, World War One, Great Depression, World War Two, safest place to put your money. Not, it's better than gold and silver. When you take a look at this strategy compared to what I call a naked qualified account, which is just a IRA, a 401k, a SEP, simple pension, TSA, you're going to lose when the market goes down. You're not right. My strategy. You know, and then trying to build a pile of tax-free money. You know, most of my clients are very cognizant that in the 1980s, the highest marginal tax rate was 70% here, not in Switzerland, here. It was 91% in the 1960s. And we didn't owe $300 trillion because our national debt's about $34 trillion. Social Security is like $30 trillion. Medicare is like $40 trillion. U.S. unfunded liabilities is $211 trillion. Every working American owns the Fed $2 million if we were to pay off all our debt this moment. And it's going up a lot every second of the day.
Yeah, constant.
So you have to diversify your market exposure, your taxation, and your liquidity. Tying up your money if you're in your 20s, 30s, or 40s for 40, 50, you know, 20 years is idiotic. It's making sure, there you go, you got it right there, usdebtclock.org. If you look at the bottom, which nobody really looks at, the bottom right, you can see we owe $211 trillion in U.S. unfunded liabilities, $40 trillion in Medicare, and $26 Social Security. So every non-working American owes $629,000, but you have to multiply that by 2.6. Because if you go up top, you can see the difference between what a working American owes and what a citizen owes is $100,000 for the citizen and $260,000 for the taxpayer.
Yeah.
And only 40% of Americans actually pay taxes. 60% of Americans, either children, stay at home, they just don't file, or they're older, they're retired. So you got 40% of the population paying for 100% of the debt. And people are dumping money in 401ks and IRAs. It is the most stupidest thing you can do long term, given our current economic system. It's idiotic.
All right. So we all know the world is going to crash. And I want to talk about that in just a minute. But first, try to pay a bill. You know, we all need doctors eventually. And if you don't like your doctor being one of them, follow the CDC woke recommendations every time you turn around, I recommend the wellness company. It's twc.health. And if you use code Lighthouse when you're there, I'll save you some money. You can get doctors and pharmacists that didn't fall for the woke agenda. They didn't push the COVID stuff on people that didn't want it. These are doctors and pharmacists and pharmacies that put your health and your independence first. TWC.health. Use code Lighthouse. I'll save you a little bit of money. Thank you very much. Okay, so what I always tell people, especially here on the show, when they call in at 512-248-8252, when they call in, we talk about, like, okay, everybody knows that the U.S. greenback, the paper dollar that we carry around in our wallet, is worthless. It's not tied to any physical asset. The government just goes click, 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 click on a computer whenever they want more money, which brings up another point. We'll get to that in just a second, too, I'm sure. But whenever they want more money, they just print it. And every time they print more money, our money is worth less. So eventually, it's all going to come crashing down. Like, we're going to wake up one day and it's, you know, Weimar Germany or early 90s Soviet Union, where all of a sudden the $1.50 that I normally spend on a loaf of bread, well, that loaf of bread is now $350. It's just going to happen. We know it's going to happen. And unless the people in D.C. stop printing money like it's paper, there's nothing else that can stop it. To use Milton Friedman,
inflation is made in Washington because only Washington can create money. And any other attribution to other groups of inflation is wrong. Consumers don't produce it. Producers don't produce it. The trade unions don't produce it. Foreign sheiks don't produce it. Oil imports don't produce it. What produces it is too much government spending and too much government creation of money and nothing else.
Okay, so we're right up to the commercial break. But I want you to think, during the commercial break, what do we need when that happens? When we wake up and a loaf of bread is $350, what are the things that we need to have around us? And how do we survive both short-term and mid-term and long-term? I have ideas. I have what I think is going to be the new monetary system in the short term, in the midterm. Long term, you never know. But I want you to think about those things for just a minute. And we've talked about it on the show a couple of times. So maybe somebody will call in and quote me back to myself and say, well, you said. And you can do that too. At the other side of the break, call in 512-248-8252 or text 64 by right 646-974-4487. And don't forget, at the top of the second hour, so about 35 minutes from now, big announcement that you're going to want to hear. I'm not saying a good announcement or a bad announcement. A big announcement. Be back in 3 minutes, my friends.
When I get there, I'm learning to fly around the clouds. What goes up must come down.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Peter Serafin. Please remember, free speech is not free, and these free speech networks, well, they need your help. They're all listener supported. So use their product codes or promo codes. For example, if you go to mypillow.com and use code Lighthouse, you get the same discounts as if you used anybody else's promo code. So why not help the little guy? So use our promo codes, buy our merchandise. And, you know, the easiest thing that you can do, the free thing that you can do that's the biggest help possible, share out links to what you're watching and listening to. Tell your friends, your family. Word of mouth is by far the best advertising, because Lord knows that none of the algorithms help us out. We're talking with Joe Lombardi, founder of Iron Hawk Financial. And right before the break, I asked him, short-term, long-term, mid-term, long-term, what do we need to have when, well, pardon the French, but when the shit hits the fan, the fit should, I don't know, there's a cute way of saying that without gussing, but I can't remember what it is right now. I've always said that when we wake up that day and our paper money is just completely worthless, the first things that we, that are going to be used as currency are medicines, alcohol, tobacco, and ammunition. And then, once those needs are settled, then it's going to turn to precious metals. And then, an honest-to-goodness monetary system established by a government at some point down the future. That's my prediction. You're the financial guy. Am I completely crazy?
I mean, historically you are, but given our current world we're in, I can totally understand. I've heard that sentiment 100 times. And when you take a look at a complicated scenario, as you explained, you have to take a look at history to basically guide you to what you should do. Now, what I tell my clients who ask me that very question, because I work with a lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives, a lot of patriots, number one is you need weapons. You need a gun. Because if you're hungry, that means somebody else is. And if you have something to conserve as a conservative, you have to protect it. So you need guns. You need ammo. You need at least 6 months of food. Because what's going to become the biggest commodity, if this doomsday scenario comes true, which historically it has not here in the United States, but if, right, I understand, if it happens, You need to be able to protect your family, mm-hmm. your wife, your children, the people you love most. If you have an older father or mother you're taking care of and they can't defend themselves, well, you better learn how to shoot. Number two, like for me, the best question is, what am I doing? Right? That's what I ask every professional. Coming to do my plumbing, well, what would you do if you were me? Number one, I have guns. I have ammo. Just upgraded my alarm system literally yesterday to the top of the line alarm system. I have cameras. Cameras that I can see in the night as if it was day. So it's beautiful. I have two huge freezers that are filled with about 100 pounds of meat. Ground beef, bacon, venison, steak, chicken. I also have a garden, which I would have to defend 24/7. It's going to be difficult. I also have a bunch of rice. I mean, I have three children under the age of 14. So I don't think so. I have to be a protector. You know, yeah, it sucks raising kids in this day and age.
Well, I have six children, but mine are all over the age of 18.
You're very blessed. I also have a fire drill plan with a lot of other patriots that live around me. I'm in Connecticut. So I have a fire drill plan. We got about 100 acres in a place I won't disclose, that if something were to happen, we all meet there and we all know who's bringing what. Who's bringing the guns, who's bringing the AKs, who's bringing the food, who's stacking up their Suburban full of nothing but food and kids, who's bringing tools. We have a couple sheds that are filled with tools that we all split. So it's using the community route. If you think during an apocalypse, right, you can imagine zombies coming after you, right? I think that's more of an analogy. Zombies are going to be hungry Americans that are broke, and they're going to be coming at you. And if your lights are on when all the power's off because you have a generator, like I do, you are going to be a target. And you need to find a way to protect the people you love, feed the people you love. So there's two fire drills. One, who's close to me within 10 miles, 15 miles? I can get to my house quick. I have a big old house. Number two, it's more serious where we need more than six people with guns, right? Because maybe the government's going door to door like they did in Germany, right? So you need a plan for that. I mean, it sounds silly. I don't talk about this too openly, but it's just important to have these plans in place with people that share the same viewpoints, that are awakened. There's a lot of sleeping sheep. You know, there's a lot of people that just say, baby daddy Biden's going to make it okay, when all you are is just social security number XYZ, and they don't give two shits about you. Excuse my French. So having a plan, finding like-minded people that have the same goals, that view the world the same way as you. Guns, ammo, food. Number one. Yep. Number two is I put all of my money. I don't leave it in the banks. That whole FDIC insurance is only $250. And, you know, I've been in the financial industry for 20 years. So I have more than $250 I need to protect. Let's leave it at that. So I have all my money inside of insurance companies, because historically they survived the Civil War, World War One, the Great Depression, where banks closed and there's thousands of people outside of the bank trying to get their money. Never happened with insurance companies, ever. Not once. And they survived World War II. So I think World War III is coming. I think they left the borders open so that when they send our military overseas to fight some BS nonsense that they say we need us, most of the talent of people that will protect Americans will be gone. So that's going to leave what? A bunch of sleeper cells. Because if you see who's coming over the border, it's not women and children.
No.
It's military age men. So all they have to do is give each one a cell phone. And when the time is right,
and the government's doing that for us.
That's what I'm saying. That was the Obama phone, remember? Now we got the Biden phone. Right? And by the way, President Biden is not our president. Barack Obama and Michael Obama are the two presidents right now. Okay? Yes, I said it. Michelle is not a female. There's tons of evidence that supports that if you want to look into that. That's one other conversation. So you have to figure out how do I protect my family? How do I protect the people I love? Who is like-minded like me? Because you don't want to be, if you're a wolf, the last thing you want to do is be around a sheep, because they're going to provide no value. They're just going to take, take, take. So you have to find people that are going to give a value add to the communal that you are going to build, if that were to happen. Now, do I think it's going to happen? No. But do I think my house is going to burn down? No. But do I have a fire plan for my children to get out of the house safely? Yes. So do I think I'm going to die today or tomorrow? Well, I hope not, but I have a ton of life insurance, right? So it's just having that plan in place to say, God forbid, the devil wins the battle, because you know God always wins the war, but the devil wins the battle and I'm not here anymore or something happens, that my family, who God made me in charge of, right? I didn't create my children. God gave us our children. So I have to protect them. You had six of them. You know what it's like when they're younger. I have an 8-year-old daughter. Like I would kill anyone in a second if they threatened to hurt my child. So you have to protect what you love, and you have to make sure that you have food, because what do you need to survive? Food, water, and shelter. That's all you need. We don't need internet. We don't need video games. We don't need Netflix. We don't need a dishwasher. You got two freaking hands, right? We need shelter, food, and water, period. That's all you need. And you can live 50 years with those three essential things. Yep. So what do? I go to BJ's or Costco. You have a Costco around you. And I buy 50 of those 40 packs for like $2, $3. And I throw them in the basement. So I know I got at least 6 months of water if something were to happen. I know I got at least 6 months of food, probably more. My friends come over, they see my basement. They're like, oh, it looks like a grocery store. I literally have like aisle one, aisle two, just full. You know, I got the gun safe. You know, I don't do any gold and silver, because when shit hits the fan, gold and silver is not going to save you. It's not.
That's why I call the gold and silver the intermediate plan. Like I think number one, you know, yeah, food. Then you also have alcohol and alcohol, medicines,
tobacco.
Yeah. Anybody who's an addict will take those over food anytime.
Yep. Yeah. I drink, I smoke. I agree completely. It's one of the, you know, things you need when things don't go correctly.
Right.
And so, you know,
and part of our zombie apocalypse plan in my household is the little woman takes the AR-15 and all of the magazines to the first floor of the house, and I take the Mosin Nagant to the third floor, and I'm the long-range shooter, and if they get past me, she's got them from down below. That's part of our plan. We've talked about that before. And if it just so happens that one or more of our children are here, then they're there to, you know, anybody who gets past mom, it's their job.
Yeah, I mean, during that time, it would be horrible. And we do live in the most peaceful time in recorded history.
Yeah.
So it is fun to imagine The Walking Dead as if you were in there, hoping you never get in there.
No.
But it is, if you have the extra resources, that's what I'd recommend you to do if that is a major concern of yours, is you need something to protect yourself, because people are going to be looking for free stuff.
Yep.
And if you're an easy target, you're dead. It's that simple.
And to be quite honest, part of our plan is also that, like, we don't want to live if it really is that bad out there. So we only have, I think it's 3 months of food.
Okay.
And if civilization hasn't normalized after 3 months, then screw it. That's how we feel about it.
Yeah,
but our kids are all grown and we're old, and you know, that's
yeah, you've already won the game of life. You did what God called you to do, which was raise six of his children into this world and teach them your ethics, morals, and make them the best people you possibly can.
Now, I must say, this might be the longest we've ever gone on the show without getting callers. And I don't know if they're just that interested in what we're talking about, or if there's nobody out there listening tonight, or I don't know, maybe they don't like one of us.
That would be me. Nobody likes the financial insurance guy until they need us.
Right. All right. So the call in line, 512-248-8252, or text 64 my rights, 646-974-4487. But in the meantime, it's holiday time. We're going to be buying all of those lovely things for our loved ones, all of those Christmas gifts, Hanukkah gifts, Kwanzaa gifts, whatever. Romika Designs, that's R-O-M-I-K-A, designs.com, romikadesigns.com. Some of the coolest laser engraved, laser cut, laser etched, whatever. Some of the coolest stuff made with lasers that you're going to find anywhere from my friends at romikadesigns.com. Use code Lighthouse when you're there, and we'll save you a little bit of money. It's romikadesigns.com. Code Lighthouse. And he really does do some cool stuff. I bought some of his things for my beautiful wife. It's a friend of mine that just went all bonkers about buying lasers. And he now does acrylic awards for different groups and all kinds of cool stuff out of lasers. I keep telling him, I want a 4-foot by 8-foot Declaration of Independence. Oh, no, wait, he can't do a full sheet of plywood. He can only do a half. So what would it be? 4x4, right? I didn't have 4x4.
When you say lasers, you have to put the quotes up. Say lasers.
Lasers. I want freaking sharks with lasers on their heads. According to Mike, the producer, it's been a relatively slow call day all afternoon. I'm sorry. On a few shows today. On a few. So the good shows, well, they still got callers, but the rest of us. Sorry.
No, it's probably inflation. I mean, we got inflation running at 9%. People are starving. It's really sad. You know,
right.
Our economy is going. It's really sad the way, which is all by design. They're trying to get rid of the squire, so there's only kings and peasants. And that's what they've been doing for 25, 30 years. And Obama was really good at uniting us, right? and Biden's really good at uniting us, right?
Yeah, that was Biden's whole platform, was the great uniter in chief.
Yeah, it's really sad. They it comes back to the movie Ants. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but there's quote. It said, if the grasshoppers were all together, and they said, if the ants realize they outnumber us 10,000 to 1, we're all dead. And we have to keep them separated. And they separate us through religion. They separate us through race. Now they added gender in there. Why not? You know, you want to be a pilo, pamro, transsexual unicorn. Why not? Sure. You know, you know, Sarah is a cat today, so we need to bring Sarah's litter box in the middle of seventh grade so she can go to the bathroom in a litter box. That's normal.
Cool. Yeah, it's completely normal.
Yeah.
See, my whole shtick is that I consider myself a constitutional originalist, and I believe John Jay, one of the founding fathers, the first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, had it right when John Jay said, we got to go out and teach these people the Constitution so that they know their rights, so that they can better perceive when their rights are being taken away from them. That's what my focus is. Hey, callers, look at that. Yay. Jeff in Colorado is on line one. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. And thank you to your guest.
Jeff in Colorado. Going once.
Hello.
Hey, hello. There you are.
I'm sorry. I've been here, and you have too. I'm 69 years old. I filed my national status a year ago, and I'm preparing my paper so that I don't need to be paying any income taxes anymore. I am retired on Social Security. I have a lot of the stuff that you talked about with the general. I'm going to just call him Iron Hawk. I have a lot of what you listed there. So if somebody has And my neighbor's asked me this, too, so it's mostly his stuff. He's got some cash at home. He's got cash in the bank. And like 200 here and maybe 250 there. What is he supposed to do with that? And if that were my scenario, what would I be doing at 69 years? What should I be doing? What's the advice at 69 that I should be doing with this money?
You're talking about a couple hundred bucks. And you
thousand.
Oh, a couple hundred thousand, yeah. So there's two strategies that I put, you know, a couple million dollars a week of my clients' money into. One is called an FIA, it's a fixed index annuity. That one you cannot lose in the market. It averaged 13% over the last 10 years, which is the lowest 10-year period ever because of COVID. And highest was like 22%. Or if you're looking to have long-term care, then you may want to look into an IUL, Index Universal Life Insurance policy, which all that grows tax-free, which I know may not be beneficial if you're becoming a nationalist. I work with a lot of nationalists. But that's going to make sure that there's four things that are going to happen to you, right? You're being 69. You're either going to live really long, if you're like 95, 100, which is one maybe we want, depending on your health. The other one is you're going to die early. The other one is you're going to get sick or injured. Or the other one is you're going to need care, need someone to take care of you. And what I've found, that my father's in a nursing home. It's really sad. It's like jail. They're like, yeah. Oh, there's a COVID outbreak. Can't get out. What, I mean, I can't. I'm his power of attorney. I can't see my own father. Nope, can't see him. I couldn't see him for like 2 years. I call that jail.
Mm-hmm. And they'll force him to have a shot too.
They did, which I protested. I said I'm gonna get my lawyer, and there's nothing I could. He's owned by the state now, my dad. Which we're all owned by the state. So I would recommend
hear that.
Yeah, thank you. I would recommend looking into, as long as you're insurable, getting some sort of permanent life that has a chronic illness rider, terminal illness rider, long-term care, critical injury. Because when you get to a point you can't take care of yourself, you don't want somebody making $15 an hour that's in charge of 20 of you. They don't give a shit about you. So you want to stay home. You want to celebrate birthdays, Christmas, Thanksgiving with the people who love you, not the people that don't want to be there. When you buzz in and 40 minutes later, they say, oh, you had to go to the bathroom? Yeah, I already shit the bed. Like, you don't want to be in that situation. So your biggest concern being 69, having resources like that, would be to ensure the quality of your life. Because nobody else is going to do it if you will not do it. So I would definitely look at an IUL. I would take a look at maybe whole life if you're more super conservative. Something with guarantees. Someone's going to make sure you're not going to lose your money. Something that's going to make sure when you need it, it's there for you, backed by a 175, 176-year-old AAA-rated mutual insurance company. I'm what you call a broker, so I represent every carrier there is in the country. I use National Life Group and Penn Mutual. Those are the two best carriers, not even close. They beat Mass Mutual, Guardian, Northwestern. So, yes, you're taking in insurance, but you're doing it. You're doing what the multimillionaires and billionaires do, which is called Section 7702 of the IRS. That would be my recommendation.
Section 772, the IRS?
02. 7702.
Roger that. So now what about cash in hand?
Yeah, so I can take cash in hand. We can put that into, again, depending on if you pay taxes or not, I'm not the IRS. We can have that conversation offline. You can go to my website, www.ironhawkfinancial.com. You can fill out the contact us form. I'll gladly hop on a Zoom with you for free, and I'd show you exactly what I would do, why I would do it, and you see if it's suitable for you. But that would be an offline conversation.
Perfect. So tomorrow?
Yeah. I'm booked from like 10. I'm Eastern like you, so I'm booked from like 10 to 3, 4 o'clock, but maybe after 4 p.m. Eastern, I can hop on a Zoom with you.
After 4 Eastern. Okay, so this is Jay Grant from Colorado.
Yeah, if you go to my website, there's a contact us button. Yep. It's name, email, phone number. I'll reach out to you later tonight. Both my boys got basketball practice at 7:30. I get home at 8:39. I'll shoot you a text. Say, hey, it's Joe from the show. If you want to get together, just let me know what time works great. I'll meet with you.
Oh, that's very good. I do thank you, sir. And so thank you, Iron Hawk. And thank you. I'm sorry, the host. I forget. Serafino.
Peter.
Okay, Pedro, thank you, man.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye.
Good night. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I look forward to working with you.
We got like 6 minutes before the break. We got one more caller waiting on hold. We got Neil in Boston on line three. Neil, welcome to the show.
Hey, well, my first point's my second point. Somebody has to interview that guy we just listened to. He's got a wealth of information, and I would maybe a 2-hour show. I don't know, but that was amazing. The reason I picked up the phone and called you guys was a little while ago is, you know, what do you do when, you know, shit hits the fan? And a long time ago, when I first woke up, I watched some interview on when YouTube was YouTube and not YouTube. It was like some obscure video, and it was what do you do? And so the expert guy was saying, you know what you do? Buy stuff now, because inflation's about to happen, and this is like 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I live in Boston, Mass, which is very, 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 very liberal, and you know, and so CVS, and CVS has deals, and they do deals, and they have extra bucks, and so I like kind of carpet bomb my house with toothpaste, razors, shampoo, soap, trash bags, like stuff I'm going to have to use at some point, and I got a lot of it. And so, and my current wife, she's my only wife, but she's like, what's this all about? I'm like, well, it's kind of like, now she knows. Like, now she gets it. Like, it's, yeah, it's just like, so I bought a ton of stuff, like, and same with like salt, pepper, pasta, you know, stuff that won't go bad, basically. So that was pretty much the only reason why I picked up the phone. A great show.
Hey, thank you very much for your call, Neil. And you know, if you think about it, money's never worth more tomorrow than it's worth today. So buying stuff when you have money just kind of makes sense. If you've got the money to buy some extra toilet paper, extra pasta, extra rice, you know, shelf-stable, not going to spoil items, Q-tips, as Curtis over in the YouTube chat room says, yeah, it makes sense. It's not going to go bad, and it's going to cost more money tomorrow than it does today. I mean, the price might not change, but your dollar's worth less. So it really ends up costing you more tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, the only way things are worth less tomorrow is if the government does, you know, everybody return your cash, which they need it because they've lent out way too much money. The amount of money that we owe, the $300 trillion, is not in circulation.
No.
It's all fake ones and zeros on the computer.
Oh, right. It's a bunch of BS. It's all...
Which I rather have this, though. What you're not understanding is that the alternative is USD coin, where they
I don't want that at all.
Well, that's what's coming. So I am very happy that cash is here, but they're trying to destroy it because USD coin is going to be credit scores. You know, it's going to be social credit. Oh, you jaywalked, or we're subtracting $500 with the USD coin.
What? You have a political talk show and you're a conservative? Nope. Sorry. You don't get
it. We're
real quick, like 20 seconds or less. Tell people how to get you to.
Yeah, so you can reach me on my business cell phone. Shoot me a text message, 203-815-3673. That's 203-815-3673. You can go to www.ironhawkfinancial.com, fill out a contact us form. I'm gladly reach out to you. You know, my goal is to help people. I'm very blessed. And doing this a long time, I don't have to work anymore. I do it because I want to wake people up and I want to get them out of the government. and into a strategy that all the millionaires and billionaires use.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe. Coming back after 3 minutes. Big announcement. I'm proud to be partnering with Cedar Mill Fine Firearms. Cedar Mill Fine Firearms does some of the coolest firearms cases you'll find anywhere. Have you ever wanted to carry your AR-15 discreetly? How about a rifle case that looks like a guitar case until you open it up? Go to cedarmillfirearms.com and use the code LIGHTHOUSE the next time you're looking for a cleaning kit or a case to carry your firearms. That's cedarmillfirearms.com and use the code LIGHTHOUSE. Nobel Prize nominated for his COVID-19 treatment protocols. The late Dr. Zelenko created Z-Stack to help boost your immune system. And when you order Z-Stack, you're not only boosting your immune system, you're also supporting Freedom Fighters Foundation. So boost your immune system by going to zstacklife.com and use the code LIGHTHOUSE. Be healthier. Support the Freedom Fighters Foundation. Use the code LIGHTHOUSE at zstacklife.com.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must eat America back.
Welcome back to the top of the second hour of National Intel Report, live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio and Patriot Nation Radio Network, and anywhere else that you might hear or see the program. So I've been teasing this big announcement. Y'all ready for it? It's a big announcement for me anyway. You might, I have no idea what you're going to feel about it, but I also have to say that I don't have any more show plans, so I need your calls to get me through the next hour. But the big announcement, this is not the big announcement. This is just another plead. Please go to liberty-lighthouse.com and click the Win a Book button at the top of the page. I'm giving out my books. Got three of them so far. Fourth one in the works. Giving out my books for free. All you got to do is fill out the form. I pay postage and everything, and I randomly draw names and stick them in the mail. That's all there is to it. Liberty-Lighthouse.com. Click the big blue Win a Book button right at the top of the page. So the big announcement. Yeah, this is the last time I'm going to be hosting National Intel Report here on Republic Broadcasting Network. And it's the last time for at least a while that I'll be hosting Liberty Lighthouse either. See, I've been doing this show, this radio show, this podcast turned radio show for a little over 4 years. And I'm missing that it factor. I've been doing it for that long and I'm not growing at all. Same people that have been listening now are the same people that started listening years ago. Like Sarah Nichols. Sarah's always been one of my biggest cheerleaders since I started the show. And I love you, Sarah, but I'm not going to keep doing the show just for you. So RBN is switching things up, and I've always been just a fill-in host here on Republic Broadcasting Network. This was never officially my time slot. I'm filling in for the late, great John Stadmill. And they're switching up their lineup. So I'm losing my spot on RBN. And I've decided that I'm gonna give up my show entirely. I'm gonna focus on writing. one of the things I'm going to do in that is I'm going to go back to Substack and update my Substack page, which it's there. Haven't done much with it forever. So if you want to go to libertylighthouse.substack.com and subscribe, you can see where I'm still, what I'm doing. I'm still going. Just going to do it in written form instead of audio form. And you can continue to follow me at liberty-lighthouse.com. Website's going to have to go through some changes. And, take the video and audio stuff off of it and focus on writing. I've got my fourth book. I'm going to say 80 to 90% done. Trust Shattered is the name that I'm working with until maybe a publisher tells me it's not a good name. Looking for a publisher for that. I'm continuing to publish articles. So that's the big announcement. I'm giving up radio. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, phone line is open, 512-248-8252, or text 64MYRIGHTS, 646-974-4487. Let's see, we got Chris over at RBN's YouTube page. Says, sorry to hear that. I enjoy your program. Thank you, sir. Well, I appreciate that, Chris. Thank you very much. Curtis telling me that Mojo has an 11 a.m. spot open. Yeah, no, I got a regular full-time job, Curtis. I can't do that. That's part of the problem with me and radio. Is I really only have Thursday evenings available as a time that I can carve out and say, this is when I do my show. That's limiting. That's very limiting to a network, and that's limiting to what I can do. So, yeah, go back to what it is. Then we got Gaggenheimer. Maybe you're no longer relevant. Quite honest, I don't know that I ever was relevant. I don't know that I was ever. I don't know that I was ever big enough to be considered relevant. I tried 4 years, and I'm missing that it factor. I don't have whatever it is that builds a big following. Okay. I'm okay with that. I never wanted to get rich or famous. Just wanted to get the word out. Sarah in Oregon, line one, welcome to the show.
Good luck with what you're doing. Good luck in your future endeavors, because we know that the landscape is changing. But we'll wish you good luck, and hopefully the magic will return someday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Adios. Sarah has always been one of the biggest supporters. And always been out there, you know, spreading my stuff. So I write articles every week, and then I also, you know, work on books. So one of the things that I've got going on is I'm going to start putting the articles straight on Substack instead of through my own website. So hopefully you'll find me there, libertylighthouse.substack.com. Those articles are not only posted on my stuff, but also at AFNN, Americans Free News Network. And the Institute on the Constitution has shown an interest in starting to share some of my articles. Of course, they're only going to share the ones that fit their organizational agenda as well. And RBN is going to help me share my articles. So you'll be able to go to republicbroadcasting.com. republicbroadcasting.org and find my stuff there too. So that's the articles. And then of course, I still got all the contacts from everybody at Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network, and here at Republic Broadcasting. So when the new book comes out, hopefully all of these other people will have me on as guests talk about my new book. And, well, you can follow the Substack. Maybe if there are any other hosts out there listening right now, subscribe to the Substack. And if you see an article that catches your eye and you want me to come talk about it, I can still do the guest thing. It's the carving out a specific time to do a live show that's been challenging for me and my life in general, and especially the coming month of December. Those of you that listen know that I'm a full-time mailman. And in the month of December, I never know what I'm going to get done with my regular job, come home. There were several weeks last year where I had backup hosts just in case I didn't get home in time. And honestly, I almost thought I couldn't get there now, today. Like, it was a rough day. Curtis over in YouTube says that I'll be missed. Well, thank you, Curtis. There's a couple of you out there that are probably miss me, and a couple of you that have been supportive for a long time. And I appreciate that. And let's see. Somebody's just going nuts over here in the Twitch chat room. Have you considered becoming hard right wing? The European libertarian fascists are on the rise. Are they winning in the elections? They've taken the Netherlands. Well, I bet you dealt with a few male end bounce. Wow, that's just all wrong. Anyway, huge thank you to RBN, Patriot Nation Radio Network, and Mojo 50 Radio. You know, I started this. I've told this story a few times. I first got involved in politics, started paying attention to politics like, you know, 6-ish years ago. And I started looking around thinking, something ain't right. Something just doesn't make sense. And I didn't know where I fit in the political spectrum at that time. But I felt I needed to do something. So I wrote my first book. It's a little itty-bitty, tiny, short book. Progress, really. One Man's View of Social Progress in America. And it was basically just me looking at so-called social progress during my own lifetime. Then I started a podcast, called it Liberty Lighthouse. And shortly thereafter, I joined the Mojo 50 Radio Network. I started having guests on and talked to a lot of people, including a presidential candidate and lots of authors and entrepreneurs. And there's a lot of smart people out there. Some of those smart people had really simple ideas that I thought, hey, that could work. So I started paying attention and jotting a few of those down. And I wrote my second short little book, So Simple Even a Politician Can Understand, Simple Ideas for Seemingly Complex Political Issues. That second book's a dozen or so ideas that came from the show, came from, you know, things that came up in conversation or things that were suggested by guests of the show. And at that point, I started realizing, hey, I'm pretty conservative. I'm pretty far to the right on the political spectrum. Then, just in the last year, I had this idea that, you know, what's wrong with our country? Like, why are we allowing our government to do way worse than what King George was doing? And we're just sitting back and letting it happen. So that was the idea behind my third and most recent book, A More Tyrannical King. How the federal government has become more oppressive than King George. I don't understand why everybody's just willing to roll over and take it. I use the example all the time. I talk about the Boston Tea Party. Y'all remember the Boston Tea Party, right? Some patriots dressed up as Native Americans and threw tea in the Boston Harbor. That was to protest a tax that would have cost the colonies the equivalent of about $300,000 in today's money a year. $300,000 a year. But we sit here today and we allow our government to not only tax us to the tune of $4 trillion a year, but then to go on and spend almost another $2 trillion a year beyond that. And American citizens just roll over and take it. When was the last time you pulled out the Declaration of Independence and read the 27 grievances against King George? You can read those 27 grievances and make correlations to today. But we don't do anything. We've got the big uniparty. The donkeys and the elephants. They're going to save us. Democrats and Republicans, they're going to save this country. Even though that's the two of them that have got us into the mess that we have now. We got an article written, and I can't remember if it's posted yet or if it's one of the ones that's scheduled to post here soon. It's about the primary election process. And I know I've said this on the show before, but the more you think about it, that's the root of our problem, or a root of the problem. These two parties, the Democrats and Republicans, have been in control, in charge for so long that they have passed laws limiting who can be on the primary election ballots. And who can even be in the primary election? These two parties have passed laws limiting other parties being able to join the primaries and made the rules for who can qualify within those two parties. But they made these rules and then passed them as law. That's weird. Because a primary election, that's how a private organization chooses what candidate they're going to put on the ballot for the general election. It is a decision to be made by party members of a private organization. There should be no laws about that. How would you feel if all of a sudden the government started passing laws about internal elections at your local American Legion or your local church or your local charity? They're all private nonprofit organizations too. What's the difference between laws governing primary elections and laws governing who becomes the grand poobah of whatever fraternal organization? There is no difference that I see. And then to take that a step further, the Democrats and Republicans that have been in charge for so long, well, they make you and I pay for these primary elections, these publicly funded selections of position within a private organization. How is that publicly funded? It's insane. Anyway, that article's scheduled to post next week. I looked it up while I was ranting. Misty in Kansas, line one. Welcome to the show, Misty.
Okay, good show. I enjoyed that gentleman. I'm sorry, Patrick?
What's that? Joe. Joe Lombardi from Iron Hawk Financial.
Oh, there you go. I said Lombardi. Okay, but anyway, I just wanted to call Peter and say, you know, I understand my husband is a rural carrier.
And me too.
Pardon?
Me too. I'm a rural carrier.
Oh, are you? Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm kind of going to switch subjects here, if you don't mind.
And it's a live show. That happens.
Pardon?
I said it's a live show. That happens.
Sweet. So what do you think about all this? And what do you think about Amazon? I mean, they don't pay their fair share, do they?
I don't know. I don't know if they pay their fair share, you know, in the world of taxes. It's
You're
my
delivering
understanding.
Their packages, though, and they get a tax break, correct?
I assume. I don't know. It's my understanding that Amazon pays $2 per package.
Mm-hmm. I think you could be correct. My husband is a steward, a union steward. And, yeah, and what do you think? Are they trying to privatize it? What's going on here?
You know, there have been efforts to privatize the post office forever. Mm-hmm. And so I started the post office about 9 years ago. And at the time, they were talking about going to 5-day-a-week delivery instead of six. Mm-hmm. Which, okay, that would save a ton of money. I mean, a ton. Because you would need a lot fewer part-time people. You would pay a lot less in overtime. It would save a ton of money.
A rural driver doesn't get overtime, does he? Not mine.
Oh, no, only for like 3 weeks in December. But
did they switch your route to you have no more X days?
I still get an X day every once in a great while.
Oh, didn't get every other Saturday off with this last...
Oh, I've never had Saturdays off. I get Friday and Sunday.
Okay. It must be different.
It depends on the route. It depends on the route evaluation and all that kind of stuff. I'm a K route, which means that I do get a day off every week, mm-hmm. but I'm not high enough on the seniority list to get two consecutive days off. So I have Friday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. Here's what really ticked me off, especially today. Mm-hmm. So there's a relatively new Amazon distribution center about 40 miles away, 45 miles away, something like that. And I don't know, a month, 2 months ago, maybe sometime, I'm going to say sometime during the summer, they started delivering packages. And our, at the post office, our package volume went way down. And it was nice. Yeah. See, I started delivering right before the Amazon contract. So I saw what it was before Amazon, and then I saw what Amazon did to our jobs. And then, you know, for a little bit, had this thing. So that went on for a while. Amazon was delivering the majority of their own packages, and it was a reasonable workload again. And then, like last week, they
decided... Oh, you're heading into trouble, honey. I understand why you're having to... you're heading into trouble. It's that time, ain't it?
So they were delivering the big stuff, but then leaving the little stuff for us because, you know, mm-hmm. they're not allowed to put packages in mailboxes. Only the post office could do that. So they were leaving the little stuff for us, which is great because I can just throw it in a mailbox. No problem. Loved it. It was great. Then this week, like as of Monday, my God, you would think that Amazon was on strike and they weren't delivering any of their own stuff again. Mm-hmm. Today, I had so much stuff that I had to take two trips in order to get everything in my government vehicle that they forced me to take.
So So how many packages do you have? My husband's topped out at 81. Which my
oh my god, I had 248 scans today. That's 248 times that I had to
take
a
package. Those are all Amazon packages?
No, not all.
Not all.
But that's mostly.
But it's not even December yet. They're the ones that are screwing the post office. Amazon.
See,
they're not
know.
Paying their fair share.
I don't know what their fair share is because they pay for everything all the way up to delivery at your local post office. So I don't know what it costs the post office to sort out that Amazon pallet, divide it up by the routes, and deliver it when the delivery driver is already going to be making the route anyway. $2 might be fair for that. I don't know. But what I do know is my little post office building was not designed for the volume of packages that we have today. And that is the majority of the stress of my day, is the space in the office. Misty, feel free to hang on, but it's break time. Coming back on the other side, 3-minute break. The next time you're looking for audio equipment, I want you to think MAONO. That's right, Maono.com is quality audio equipment at affordable prices. The Maono caster that I use for all of my broadcasting is 1/3 of the price of the more famous alternative on the market. Microphones, stands, cables, headphones, audio interface equipment, all at Maono.com, and use the code Lighthouse. That's the code Lighthouse at Maono.com. If you live stream, I want you to check out Restream. Restream is how this broadcast is being simultaneously sent to YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, DLive, and Rumble. Not only that, but your guests can also pair their video platforms with your broadcast and have your broadcast on your platforms and their platforms all at the same time. Go to liberty-lighthouse.com/restream, and I'll save you $10 off for the premium service that I know you're going to want. That's liberty-lighthouse.com/restream. Hey, welcome back. It's the final segment of tonight's Public Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse, National Intel Report, blah, 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 blah. It's my final segment, well, for the foreseeable future. It's my last show. So please, because I am not giving up the fight, I'm just giving up the radio. So please, go to liberty-lighthouse.com and click the Win a Book link and become a subscriber that way so that I can keep you up to date with what's going on. And go to my Substack, libertylighthouse.substack.com. That's where I'm going to start putting my weekly articles. And I'd really appreciate if you subscribe there, follow me there, and see what I have to write. I'm giving up the radio to focus on writing. And this is my last show. And there you are. Let's see. We got Misty in Kansas was on hold. We were talking about the post office and Amazon and how they're making my life hell.
Yeah, correct. I just think it's getting to the point to where, you know, they're kind of pushing this. You know, it's like, I know with my husband, I'm sure you see it. It's, you know, you can go right, you know, 10 minutes away and go to the Walmart and buy you some dog food, but they want it delivered.
And you can't blame the customer. You can't blame, you really can't blame the customer.
Toilet paper, just stupid stuff.
But you can't blame the customer. Because
I'm not blaming the customer, but let me take this on a different route. If I need to go in the post office and mail a package to my mother-in-law, it's going to cost me flat rate how much? But Amazon is only paying $2. So do you see, people wonder why the stamps go up and all that craziness? Yeah. It's because of that.
But what the difference is that when you take your package to the to your local post office, it's going to a postal employee who's going to put it on a postal truck, who's going to drive it to a distribution center, who's going to fly it to another distribution center, who's going to drive it to another local post office. Amazon skips all of those steps and takes it directly to the post office that's going to deliver it. They do 90% of the work. I understand. I don't know if the $2 flat rate that Amazon is paying is sufficient. I understand.
Well, and at the same time, are you lifting, you know, 60-pound boxes to take up to somebody's, your rule? So if you're rule like I'm rule, I mean, it could be, goodness, a good ways to get to their house.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the job. That's what we signed up for.
Okay, I just find it interesting, and I think people need to really consider that as to why everything is going up, and, you know, and at the same time, DeJoy, my husband used to have every other Saturday off. He had a relief driver. But he got an X day if he had to work. No more. Right. They changed that. He's working 6 days a week, 300 miles total.
Oh, yeah. They changed his route evaluation. He went from a H route to a K route or one or the other. I'm a K route, which means I get a relief day every week. But there's a lot of people changed the route when it's slow. When they went to this, computerized route evaluation stuff. A lot of people got their routes messed up. I got really lucky, and I only changed by like an hour.
A lot of people weren't getting their paychecks either.
Yeah, there was a big problem with that. We had like several people in my office that didn't get paid for weeks. It's terrible. There's been a lot of messed up at the post office. And I'm gonna have to let you go, Misty. But you're right. The $2 that Amazon pays per package is definitely something worth looking into. I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but I do know why they get it. Like, I know why they get a special rate. Whether that's the appropriate special rate, I'm not sure.
Yeah, there you go. Analyze that. Thank you, Peter.
Sure thing.
You take care of yourself now.
Thank you, Misty. Hey, make sure you're subscribed to my website and my Substack and all that kind of stuff, and we can keep in touch.
I definitely will.
Thank you very much. Today, I realized why people go postal. It's not the monotony of being on the route. It's not the customers that you see day in and day out. It's the sorting in the incredibly limited space of our post office. And now, with the Amazon packages, that just makes it insane. I've got about 50 square feet of space to sort out my parcels. And like I said earlier, I had 223 or something like that, 248 parcels today. And imagine trying to organize and put in order 248 parcels in 50 square feet of space. And oh, by the way, all of those parcels are in that space to begin with, before you start organizing and sorting. So, yeah, that's why people go postal. It's insane. Mike in Kentucky on line three. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Well, a couple of things I'd like to dredge up from the past with the United States Postal Service, where they were being trashed in the media. But first, the White House says the chocolate ration has been increased 5 grams a week. And the annual inflation rate fell in October to its lowest level since March 2021, and the monthly inflation rate was zero. But on the White House Facebook page, it's pretty hilarious. There's like 3,000 comments. This was just posted 20 minutes ago. There's 3,000 comments, 317 shares. And everybody is trashing the White House. They're all like, this is gaslighting if I've ever seen it. I'm so done with this administration.
All right, we got to stop. It's hilarious. I almost fell out of my chair. That was so funny. Anybody out there listening who does not get the chocolate ration increase to 5 grams a week reference,
1984.
That is a direct reference to George Orwell, 1984, where they actually cut the chocolate ration, but told people that they were increasing the chocolate ration, and people were expected to just suck it up and believe it and go along. People did.
Winston Smith worked for the Ministry of Information or whatever they called it.
The Ministry of Truth.
So he got this notice that chocolate ration was going to be decreased 15 grams a week, and then he got another notice that said, no, okay, we're going to just decrease it 10 grams a week. So he wrote it that it was increased. You still got less, but it was less than what they initially were going to cut it. So that got flipped to increase of 5 grams. So,
and that is exactly what this White House does when it comes to inflationary stuff. Like, they talk about inflation is down to only 4%. Yeah. Well, it's down to 4% after being 8% last month. But the goal was 2%. So it's 4% on top of the 8%. And most people just don't seem to get that.
Like Black Friday deals. 20% off are already jacked up prices that are 50% more than they were in the summer. Stuff like that. So I started hearing, and I read about it, and I couldn't believe it. It was just right across the board, coordinated media attacks on the Postal Service back about, 2011 or something. It was during the Obama second administration. And that what that happened was they were the amortization tables or whatever for the U.S. Postal Service. They wanted it funded. They wanted the pension funds.
Yes.
Padded $5 billion a year every year for, I think, 10 years because they wanted $50 billion set back for Postal Service workers projected out that wouldn't even be born yet. That was like 2011. So, but the news media did the same Orwellian crap. They said, the Postal Service is $5 billion in debt before they sell one postage stamp. It's mismanagement, it's all this stuff. And it was because Congress was making them fund their pension plans out to people that ain't born yet. It's just propaganda right out of Orwell's 1984.
Well, let me put a little finer point on what happened there.
Yeah.
Congress passed a law that said that the United States Postal Service had to fund the medical insurance and retirement plans of all postal employees 20 years in advance.
Yeah.
Now, they passed that law, which only applied to the United States Postal Service. It did not apply to any other government agency.
Right.
Or any private sector business, only the United States Postal Service. When there was a lot of talk about taking the Postal Service private. And my own personal, what I think was going on there, is that that was an effort to paint the Postal Service as a completely bankrupt, money-losing endeavor that could only be saved if it was made private, so that a couple of those Congress people could come in and buy it.
Yeah, my point about it though was the lapdog press just went right along with it, and there was no responsible reporting on that unless you dug and found what was going on. And I had a retired Postal Service guy tell me, he said, you're the one of the few people in the media that actually understands what's going on, because I reported on it in the local. On my local cable station, and it got back to him. He was my letter carrier, and he's since retired. But he was like, you're like the only person I've talked to in the media or otherwise that actually understands what's going on here. And, of course, I always thought FedEx was a pun anyway, like, getting rid of the federal government, FedEx. But, no, that it's just another example of how media doesn't think that it's like they're what we used to call in the 80s rip and read radio. They just, you know, take it right off the wire service and don't question it. It's just read it off. And of course, when I had writing for print media or journalism and stuff like that, that's what they made us do. We had to go to a media outlet, get the Associated Press, or back then you still had UPI, or whatever wire service you could get a hold of, and we had to rewrite what was coming off the teletype.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was horribly written, and most of the stuff was, you know, incomplete, not like newspaper, you know. But even the newspaper does this. Of course, the local paper did this to me. They trashed me. And then when I called them up and said, hey, why didn't you bother to try to contact us to get our side of the story? And they rewrote it, but they rewrote the same dang story, and they put my side of the story, like, turned to section 2B, you know, in the back.
Yeah.
Every media outlet did that to me, except for one, and all they did was print an editorial that said, the law is the law. Well, sure it is. The law is the law, except where it's not enforced by policy or, you know, all kinds of exceptions are made, you know. But anyway, the Trump jumped on the bandwagon and started saying that the Postal Service got a bad deal, or they made a bad deal. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about with this, where they're delivering all these other packages for other people. And however, does the Postal Service maintain a big fleet of airplanes? They don't,
yeah.
Right? I mean, there might be some bush pilots that are still delivering in the middle of Alaska or somewhere, you know. But they don't maintain a big fleet of planes. So what Trump and the media never talked about was how many tons of air freight that they got in the deal. So they don't have to maintain a fleet of planes. They use DHL, FedEx, whoever, UPS. They get put bags and bags on those planes, right?
Yeah, they you know, they buy the space or lease
the
space.
Well, they're trading it. It's a barter deal, basically. You gotta do, and they're putting it on you to deliver all these packages, these little $2 packages, you know, even if it's a, like you talked about, or like that previous caller said, a 50-pound bag of dog food, which I've never ordered a 50-pound bag of dog food that way, but I guess you can.
I deliver a lot of them.
Well, during COVID, did they not? Because that's what all of our neighbors did, and we're rural free delivery. We had to put some kind of a box or a basket down by the mailbox for these deliveries to go in.
It depends. If your driveway, if your front door is more than a half a mile from your mailbox.
Yeah. We all did that, though, on this road, and we have a letter carrier that's a neighbor, and she put a plastic box out by her mailbox for all her packages.
Some of ours got
delivered in hers. She had to call us and say, hey, you got like 4 or 5 packages over here in my box, you know, because they got misplaced. But I just think I get kind of tired of the Postal Service being trashed, especially after I saw the Kevin Costner movie, The Postman.
Well, I tell people all the time, you know, it's like, and you introduce yourself, hi, I'm Peter. And they're like, well, what do you do? Oh, I'm a mailman. And they're like, oh, that's a great job. And my response to them is always, no, it's not.
Yeah.
The jobs.
They have a hard time finding people, too. I know a guy whose mom worked until like 6 months before she died. She was in her 70s. And in Houston, Texas, they just could not find people. And the people that
worked there. What I tell people all the time is the pay and the benefits are great. The job sucks. And here, little quick story. When I was applying at the post office, of course, I looked up what does a mail carrier make? And I saw that, you know, the average mail carrier makes like $75,000 a year or something like that. And I thought to myself at the time, why? It's a menial job that requires no education. Why does it pay $75,000 a year? Then I get the job and I want to stab people every day. And I went, oh, that's why it pays so well. Between well,
back in
me?
The 90s, back in the 1990s, I worked in a fairly medium-sized metropolis, you might say, 600,000 or 800,000 people. And I would walk or ride my bicycle to go get lunch. And in the afternoon, in a church parking lot, I kept seeing this guy sitting in his mail carrier vehicle after he had delivered the mail to our business. And finally, one day, I just walked in, because I talked to him. We had, you know, rapport. But I finally caught him while he was sitting there, and he was looking at a Victoria's Secrets catalog in the back of the van. And I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? And so he had to explain to me that the union, when he finished his route, he was not allowed to go back to the post office, even though he was done like 2 hours early. And they had, you know, I'm sure that this, you know, through the 90s, this kept happening. I talked to different carriers about it. But the union would negotiate these routes, you know. And, of course, in fair weather leading up to Christmas, you would have less, you know. But, I mean, obviously now, this time of the year, man, they're overloaded, right? That's what happens is the route has to be adjusted for the different times of the year then.
It's also different between city carriers and rural carriers. If your mailman wears a uniform, he's got a completely different union and a completely different pay structure than the mail carrier that doesn't wear a uniform.
I know it's kind of scary in the last few years seeing these vehicles looking pretty run down and
they've got a
magnetic sticker on any old vehicle they can get that's white.
Yeah, I had for several years required to have my own POV, my own privately owned vehicle. And I went through a few, but I finally found the perfect one, and I decked it all out, and it was just perfect. And no sooner did I make my own perfect mail delivery vehicle than the government comes along and says, nope, you've got to use this Mercedes Metris. I'm like, okay. So I get my Mercedes Metris, and it's got less than 30 miles on it. And I think to myself, I've always wanted a brand new Mercedes. After driving that thing for about a week delivering mail, I never want a Mercedes again.
Well, I started buying Jeeps at about 25, over 20 years ago. And they're real popular with the mail carriers. And I finally asked them why. And they said, we burn up the brakes and you have to constantly replace the brakes. People don't realize
there's another reason. Until recently, Subaru and Jeep were the only companies that you could buy, even order, even special order a vehicle with a steering wheel on the other side.
Yeah, from Australia or Japan, I think.
Right. And then Subaru stopped doing it. And then for the last several years, Jeep was the only vehicle that you could buy without importing from another country with the steering wheel.
Right. I know a girl that wrecked hers, and that she had to get her shipped in from Australia to get one, a Jeep left-hand drive. But there's so many that get the pedals mounted on the other side, and they drive from the passenger side.
Yeah, you get what's called a conversion kit. That's what I had in mind last vehicle. The government. So I mentioned my Mercedes Metris, right?
Yeah.
The infinite wisdom of the federal government. They went out and they bought these Mercedes Metris vans, which I'm going to say are about $30,000 a piece. And it's my understanding.
Model. No features. No frills.
No frills. They bought them, and I believe they bought about 30,000 of them. And they went around replacing not the 30 or 40-year-old LLVs that you see delivering mail. They went around and said that people like me that had our own private vehicles had to stop using our private vehicles and then start using this government vehicle. Okay. But when they did that, they drew arbitrary lines and said, if your route is more than, I don't remember the numbers, I'm going to make up numbers, if your route is more than 75 miles long or less than 35 miles long, you get one of these vehicles. Well, mine was one of them. I was one of the very first people in my office to get this Mercedes Metris van. I didn't want it. I had the perfect delivery vehicle. I had created my own perfect delivery vehicle, and they were giving me one that I felt was less safe and not as optimized as my own private vehicle. Okay, stuff happens. Your boss is telling you to do it. Shove it down your own throat, whatever. Yeah. In my own office, there were several other people who would have been happy to take the Mercedes Metris vehicle. But no, that wasn't allowed. It had to be me. It had to be my route that got the vehicle. So I got it. One of the problems is my own personal, the one I had created, had windows all the way around. It was front-wheel drive, which is far better in the snow.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, all these things. Like, several safety issues. That. So I wrote a letter. I wrote a letter to my postmaster, and to the postmaster general. And I said, this doesn't make any sense. You're making me replace my vehicle with one that I consider to be far less safe.
Inferior. And
I gave the exact reasons I thought it was far less safe. And I never got a response back from any of them.
You have to wonder what the deals were made behind the scenes, you know, and why this was done. You know, cronyism or something. But what do you think about the two hats that the postmaster wears versus the manager of the United States Postal Service in that particular post office? They kind of are dual role, aren't they? The only guy left from the original post office is the postmaster, and the rest of them are under this United States Postal Service.
Well, even the postmasters are part of the Postal Service now. The postal
Yeah, but they still wear that postmaster hat, I think, from the old, I guess, common law post office.
Yeah. Presidentially appointed postmaster left the office a couple of years ago.
Wow.
The postmaster is basically the fancy title for the biggest, highest ranking manager of your local post office. Every post office has a postmaster.
Yeah, and it's a constitutional office.
Yep.
So, in common law, it still exists. I've heard some patriots claim that they, over the decades, the last 25 or 30 years, if you do it right, you can still send a general delivery piece of mail, postcard or something, from one postmaster to another and have somebody go pick it up general delivery. And it's still like 3 cents. That's what the claim is.
I've heard that too, but I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, I can tell you some tricks that I've seen people doing that get stuff delivered for free. Some of them are really creative and funny, but they are illegal.
Book rates or...
The book rate is good. I mean, you know, that's media rate. DVDs, audio, and print materials. That's the media rate. That's pretty cheap, but that's not free. I've seen some shady stuff where people just get stuff delivered for free.
Well, anyway, you may have another caller, and I've rambled on long enough, I guess. So I appreciate your helping out RBN, and maybe you need to put yourself on a limited substitute host list or something in case you need somebody needs to have you come back.
Well, I do plan to leave the studio set up as it is. Like, you know, I've got the microphone like mounted to the desk, and I see no reason to unmount it. So,
yeah, you could be called upon to be an emergency special host or something.
Emergency special host. I kind of like that.
Check your email, by the way. I sent you a Facebook and an email message. Tom from Utah was really, for some reason, thinks you know some upstanding lawyers that can help with this Marine who's had his records vanish on him and a roommate stole him. His name is Ron, and it's Meadows Fire. the guy's going up against the wall. It looks like they've targeted him for some reason. His last defense attorney tried to use his military service to get the court to grant leniency. Well, they checked in, and the base he was last discharged from or whatever, Camp Fight says, we don't know who you're talking about. We have no record of his service. And then his roommate stole all his stuff. So it's a sad case out there in, I can't remember the name of the town in Utah, near Salt Lake City. But so check your email. I sent you a message on that.
I see you in my email inbox now. However, I don't know any lawyers.
I thought, okay. For some reason, I thought he said he thought you had one.
Nope.
All right.
I don't have a lawyer. Haven't had one since my my last divorce. Anyway, right. Thank you to Joe Lombardi for joining us in my final show. Thank you, Mike, my producer. Could not do this show without you. Thank you, listeners and callers. You're why I did it in the first place. For the last time, I'm signing off. Protect your liberties. Once they're gone, there's no getting them back. God bless America.
It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America.
Mike Lindell did it again with MyStore.com. MyStore.com is where you can go to find American-made products from American companies started by American entrepreneurs. Use the code LIGHTHOUSE at MyStore.com to support Mike Lindell, American entrepreneurs, and this program. That code again is LIGHTHOUSE at MyStore.com. If you call yourself a conservative, I have a question for you. What are you trying to conserve? The $29 trillion national debt and the continued out-of-control spending? The status quo of a bloated and corrupt federal government? The deterioration of a moral society? Become a constitutionalist. Conserve the unalienable rights of we the people and the document that is supposed to restrict our government and protect our rights. Support the Constitution Party, the only nationally recognized political party that stands for the founding principles of the U.S. Constitution. Every point of the Constitution Party platform is tied directly to that founding document which made the United States a great nation. Learn more, join, and support the Constitution Party at ConstitutionParty.com or your state's Constitution Party website.
Meal delivery kits are very convenient, but man, are they expensive. And that's where Every Plate comes in. Every Plate is only $4.99 a portion. If you go to liberty-lighthouse.com/everyplate, I'll get you a great introductory offer, knocking that first box down to $1.79 a portion, and then $3.99 a portion for the next two boxes, saving you $62 just for trying Every Plate. That's liberty-lighthouse.com/everyplate. I've been sleeping on a MyPillow pillow for years, and a couple of years ago, I tried the MyPillow towels, soft and absorbent, wonderful bath towels. Recently, I got the My Giza Dream Sheets, and they are by far the best quality bed sheets I've ever owned. And while the quilt is pretty awesome, too, new products being added all the time at MyPillow.com, including sandals and slides and pajamas and, well, everything that you need for sleeping. Use the code LIGHTHOUSE at MyPillow.com to save yourself up to 66% off. That's the code LIGHTHOUSE at MyPillow.com.
'Twas the night before Christmas. The kids snuggled asleep in their beds when you heard a loud rumble like Santa and his sled. So you went downstairs to take a peek, get a look. You were confronted by this creep, a crook. He drew his weapon, but you fired first. And now this creep could take all your worth. Secure your family with Right to Bear insurance. Plans start at $10.95 a month with civil and criminal defense coverage options up to $2 million.
Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/righttobear to learn more or to sign up and start protecting what you have now.